when he can't say shit. My hatred is few, just give me a sign, and I let the world know that the city is mine. What?
Hey, yo, how you doing? This is Deshaun Woods of your City of Coaches podcast. How are you guys doing this evening here on this beautiful night, 91 degrees in Tucson, Arizona? Yes, Tucson, Arizona. It's been a while since I posted. I'm working on it. Just been busy with a lot. So we'll try to keep the conversation going today. We're going to some topics that we're going to hit fast, hurry, and going. Right now, I'm currently with my basketball team over at Tanque Verde High School in Tucson, Arizona. Well, Tanque Verde, Arizona, however how you look at it. We just completed our fourth game. Boy, is it a doozy. But, you know, one thing about basketball, you have opportunity to keep going and keep building. And when you're building a new program, you're going to have your ups and downs, your highs and lows. Well, hopefully, in God's plans, we'll take it together. But that's not why I've decided to make a post today. It's not decided why I make a video today. It's overdue. I'm overdue for a conversation. So we're going to go ahead and get it in. First and foremost, we got various different topics to cover. So let's get it right into it, to the JBA. You know, that's my favorite new lead under LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball. Sorry for the mistake. They got a lead. Last time I talked to you guys, the lead had just ended. Los Angeles team won with Jello and LaMelo Ball on the team. So, what's next for them? Well, guess what they did? They decided to, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The money is out there. You know, we could talk about basketball, and we could talk about various different things, but the money is out there. As long as you provide the show, people will come. Point blank, period. 4 years ago, no one was talking about LaVar Ball. No one was talking about LiAngelo or Lonzo Ball either, even though he was in the NBA. This whole fam, not only is Lonzo in the NBA, but he has helped his dad facilitate a whole basketball league for his youngest son to be partake in, and then eventually his middle son to partake in. I'm not saying how long the middle son is going to be involved, nor do I want to seem biased, but I definitely want to be one of the people who gets on this situation early before it blows up. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the fact that LaVar Ball has not only made sure his son secured a number two nomination draft pick to go to the Lakers, ensured that his son stays at the Lakers. Then, son gets kicked off the team in UCLA, Jello, rightfully so. I mean, obviously, he stole. You can't steal, especially, you at least need to sit down a little bit. You know, one thing about coaching basketball and coaching sports or anything, and say parenting as well, you know, you have to discipline. And if you don't discipline, it's not necessarily, rather it helps the kid or the one that did something, but it prevents other people from following suit. Right? Because think about it. If he didn't get in trouble for doing it, then why would make me not do it? So sometimes you got to show by example, like, hey, this is what it's going to be like for you if you do this. So that's why I supported Jello sitting. But they made the decision to go overseas. It's not a conversation you don't know. They went overseas, you know, for their program and went over there and took a 16-year-old kid over there and became a professional athlete. Which isn't uncommon. People have to understand, like, the curriculum is way different from America and a lot of different countries. Right? There was a kid who played in D.C. He was 16 years old. But since he had already graduated his curriculum already, he was from, I want to say, Britain or something like that. He ended up playing for MLS team, Major League Soccer team, at 15, 16 years old. Okay, because the curriculum is different. And people don't understand, like, they're like, oh, my God, he went over there at 15. We understand, like, a lot of these people, like Dirk Nowitzki, you know, Ginobili, even Tony Parker, they all can contest to the fact that they went pro at 10, at 12 years old. They already had finished their curriculum and became professional athletes. So it's not unheard of overseas. Maybe unheard of over here because they expect you to become a pro until you're 19, 20 years old. In these cases, kids may be 21 because cats for some reason somewhere down the line, and I'm not going to harp on it too long, but they decided to say, yay, it's okay for you to sit down a year just so you have a longer, so you can be more mature. What the heck? I never understood that, nor do I respect that. And I don't even care how it makes me sound. But there's no way you should be flunking out a whole year just so you can re... Just saying is frustrating. Thank God I haven't had a player to ever say that to me. And hopefully I never will. You want to reclassify yourself so you think you have a better chance, so you can have an upper age, so you could be dang near 20 years old as a senior in high school. And I'm not just talking about people who sit out 1 year. It's some of these kids reclassify for 2 years. They literally will flunk out a whole year of school just so they can come out later, so they can have longer time to develop. Yes. So a true freshman, not necessarily a true freshman. If you have noticed, you'll see a lot of these people go to prep schools, and then they'll be already in high school. Then they're reclassified. They'll be a freshman already after they played already, which means another year of high school. It's crazy, okay? So somehow they'll fix it. Nor is that something's way above my pay grade, or nor should I be worried about it. So we'll get back to that. So anyway, as I was saying, went over there. You know the story about the JBA. I'm sure you've paid attention to Ball and the Family on Facebook. You can check them out. I'm sure it's on YouTube by now. Someone probably created a website. But now he decided to take the JBA to international. So he took basically the top players, which I believe would be the top players, and took them on a tour internationally for, I think, about 20 to 30 games, maybe 20 games. It's unbelievable. That's what I'm talking about. You capitalize on your opportunities. You capitalize on opportunities that are provided to you. If you don't capitalize on opportunities provided to you, then you are hurting yourself. I don't care what anyone have to say about LaVar Ball, anything like that. He capitalized on the situation to make sure his son got secured in the NBA, got a decent contract, made sure his fact that his family got financial with Facebook, made sure they open up their house and doors, get an endorsement situation going on so they can get a little TV deal. Then on top of that, make sure they open up their own company, Big Baller Brand, which has been there a while, but then they opened up their basketball branch. Had a whole lead the last half of the summer. Now it's going international. Better pay attention. You better pay attention. I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm always paying attention. You pay attention to the fact that people are taking ownership and not necessarily doing the norms. And I support that. So check out the JBA. I don't know actually when they play, nor do I have information, but I know I follow them on Facebook on Instagram. If you don't know who I am on Instagram, Sean is chilling. That's my Instagram. My Twitter handle is DL Coach Woods, or Coach Woods DL Woods. Sorry. Check me out. But anyway, so we got that going. So JBA is over in play international play right now. So that's another tap market. Let's see how the USA basketball feels about them making their own decision and taking their own tour. It's very interesting there. Well, we'll see who has his final say with that situation. Well, guess what? NBA basketball preseason has started. A couple teams have already played already. My Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James play tomorrow. It'll be their opening game. So we shall see. Right now, I'm looking at different scores. Hornets beat the Celtics. Raptors beat Trailblazers, you know. So only a few games already started already. Most likely, obviously, there's probably mostly bench players are playing mostly in this situation. But it's still good to see. I still want to see my Lakers play tomorrow against the Denver Nuggets tomorrow. So I'm excited about that. I'm pretty sure LeBron James probably won't get much playing time because it is preseason. But they do play 6:30. Is this EST? It might be EST 6:30. So we're excited to see what my Lakers does. I'm excited to see the NBA. You know, so this is what we got you up. We got the marquee situation. Now we can talk about it. There's no speculation. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the fact that they got DeMarcus Cousins. Okay? Draymond Green. Klay Thompson. It sounds like he doesn't plan to go anywhere. Still got KD, which I think he's probably leaving next year. Let's talk about the fact that they still got Steph Curry, still got Sean Livingston off the wood, still got David West off the wood, and various different players that I probably don't know their names, nor is it my team. So you have them. Utah still have Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is a really, really good player. He's really, really sprouting up. I'm pretty sure that he's probably worked out and did everything he needed to do. So, I'm sorry, that's Utah. Utah has a good situation. Denver's still on the rise. I don't know about Denver. Trailblazers, let's see what Leonard and McCullough. We'll see what they do. Shout out to his podcast. But still, San Antonio Spurs got the young kid, Murphy. You know, they still got LaMarcus Aldridge. So, see what the Spurs do. It's so crazy when you talk about the NBA, you get so stuck talking about the Western Conference, right? You don't even think about the fact. And then that's not even sad. I didn't even hit you with the fact that Houston Rockets, the Houston Rockets are still going hard. I mean, they got Carmelo Anthony for shooting. They may have lost Trevor Ariza to the Suns. Shout out to the Suns. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be at some Suns games this year. Just on GP, just from general purpose. Start to the Suns for getting Trevor Ariza. So who Houston got left? Let me think. I'm spitting off the top of my head. So they got what, Chris Paul. They got James Harden. Carmelo Anthony. Actually, I think they lost their center too. So I have no idea. So we'll see what Houston does. I know Stephen A. Smith has Houston being under the Lakers for some reason. That's interesting. But I'm going to look more into that, Stephen A. Shout out to Stephen A. Smith. So we had a situation on the West. So that's the top teams. I think the Lakers are automatically a top team just for having LeBron James. Was I happy about LeBron James coming? But have I got over it? Yes. Because at the end of the day, I have to be loyal to my team no matter who's on the team. It's going to be a lot of showcase. I mean, it's a money move. For the Lakers and for LeBron James, whether they want to discuss it or not. Lakers are the ticket sales. I'm pretty sure they didn't have issue with ticket sales, but that issue is over with. Point blank period. Okay. Then you got Kuzma coming off, and you got got the ball boy, and then I know you got Caldwell Pope and Josh Hart. I really don't know what was the point of picking him up, but not Josh Hart. It's a kid's game. McGee. I have no idea, but I feel like they're going to have him starting because he's a center. Doesn't mean he's one of the best players. It's just sometimes if you're the best option in that position, then you become a starter. So they had to pick up McGee. So you see how my Lakers do. On the East, it's really easy. Let's go Boston. Boston, 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 Boston. They got Hayward. They got Hayward, Howard. Who else they got? They got Kyrie, Terry Rozier, and Jason Tatum, and Josh Brown. Oh, my gosh. So, the Celtics is pretty loaded. You know, I seen something funny online yesterday, or day before yesterday. It was talking about Tristan Thompson. He was talking about the fact that he feels like you still have to go through Cleveland to get to a championship. That's some confidence for your tail. And you know what? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the fact that they did get Sutton, who's a really, really good point guard. I'm excited to see him. He's an NBA-rated point guard, so he's going to be fine. You know, who else they get back? Channing Frye to get the deep three. You know, they still got Josh Smith, he's very streaky, but I don't know. Josh Smith has to give you, J.R. Smith has to get you guys something. So, you know, still got him. Kevin Love, man. Kevin Love's not a franchise player over at Cleveland. So, let's see what Cleveland do. I feel like me personally, and people could roll this back, I'm definitely going to roll this back. Cleveland is a better team without LeBron James. Doesn't mean they're going to be a better team without LeBron James. Doesn't mean they're going to win the Eastern Conference, but they're going to look a lot better on the court. People understand, it's the difference from having a good team and then having a good team. Having a good team is having talent that's going to get you somewhere, but it doesn't necessarily look like if you ever look I'll give you an example. If you look at OKC, they don't move the ball. They win because of one player. Right? And I see Paul George doing well, but honestly, they win because of one player. It's a lot different when you see a Utah team who just move the ball. Or let's talk about the fact that, Utah moves the ball. Who else moved the ball? I'm trying to think of another team. Oh, Suns move the ball. There's a lot of different teams that move the ball and they look good. Sometimes if you look good as a team, doesn't matter who the player is. And I wish Cleveland would have did that. If LeBron would have bought in and didn't live up to wearing him, if he just do well. It got to the point where, and I tried to not do the LeBron James bashing, but if we're talking X and O's, we're talking basketball. If LeBron James would have bought in and not think, oh, well, as long as I'm doing good, then I can't be to blame. And if he would have bought in and actually ran, they would have ran some sets, ran some offense. I promise you, Cleveland would have did better. They would have did a lot better. Even though they won, they would have looked better. And what I mean, it would have looked better. It would have a situation where they had a chance to steal the first game of the series against the Warriors. And you have people so used to throwing the ball to LeBron that they don't even think of the fact that they're part of the game. And they just dribble out and try to find LeBron James instead of actually trying to shoot the shot themselves. Yes, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with the fact that teams, a lot of players are built around one player, and they don't move. People want to talk stuff about Golden State being stacked, but have you ever watched Golden State's offense? Okay, the Golden State offense is ridiculous. They move, they cut, they pass, they make sense about basketball moves, and they look good doing it. That's what makes Golden State a good team. It has nothing to do with the fact that they got 4 All-Stars, 5 All-Stars. To the fact that they move the ball, they trust each other to get everyone the ball. Every one of them can get off. Shout out to Klay Thompson for not planning on leaving the Warriors. I at least want to see them. I might not see KD there, but I at least want to see him in the new arena that's building, the new Chase Center that's being built in Santa Cruz, San Francisco. So I at least want to see them all together. We may not see KD, but at least we'll see KD this year. That's fine. So let's talk about the fact that those situations. So back to the East. Brooklyn. Miami. Shout out to Dwayne Wade for deciding to come back to Miami, to retire in Miami. I think it's a good decision. I'm pretty sure they gave him crap change to come back. But he'll get to retire his career where he started. So, I feel, man, I don't know. I never would have thought it would be over with, but 16 years in the NBA, and like I said, 3 years at Marquette, so that's 19 years playing basketball at a high level. So 3 years, yes, that's 19 years of basketball playing at a high level. Maybe it's time to go. Maybe it's time to build with his wife. That's cool too. So shout out to Wade. Miami's still not gonna do nothing, but shout out to Wade. I'll be paying attention to Wade to watch you play your last couple years. So let's go back to the East. East. I really can't think of a team in the East. Indiana. Man, I don't know. You know what? Indiana is perfect representation of the fact that if you move the ball and you get everyone involved, then you'll win. Indiana had no business playing Cleveland. But at one point, Indiana was going to knock out Cleveland out of the playoffs. Why? Because they played good basketball. And then they had Victor Oladipo. That's it. Lance Stevenson. Was he there? I don't even know. But they didn't really have anyone on that team. And they competed. Why? Because they looked good doing it. So shout out to Indiana Pacers. I want to see what they do this year. But obviously, I already called Boston out. So it looked like it's going to be Boston. And you still got to be Cleveland until someone beat them. And really, truthfully, nobody really stands out. I mean, I know this, people talk about the Sixers, but honestly, the Sixers don't win when it matters. Sixers look good, and they play well when it doesn't matter, in my opinion. I feel like they had a chance, and they got knocked out of playoffs with no problem. They had a chance to really do damage when it mattered, and it didn't. Not saying regular season doesn't matter, but technically, yeah, if you get in the playoffs, you got to play like that. So each team should come in the playoffs 0-0. It doesn't matter what level, high school, college, pro, whatever, semi-pro, whatever. So, we'll see. The NBA has been on the way. I think they're going to bring DeMarcus Cousins back to we're going to bring him to the Warriors in January. So give him some time to heal. Warriors will be fine. That's fine. I don't know. I'm just excited about professional basketball always because I tried to see why I need to stop watching it. Last year I stopped watching because it was trash. So hopefully I find a reason to not watch it this time. If not, I do like women's basketball because of the fact that it's well-structured. And they actually move the ball and execute the offense very, very, and defense very, very well. Some things I wish that the boys would learn or men would learn. But they will one day. So, there's that. So, the WNBA is dismantled. Let's talk about it. So, let's talk about the fact that there's a lot of WNBA players who played the game in a high level, and the fact that they still, in order for them to feel like their season's complete, they have to go across the world to play because they're averaging. I think the average person makes $40,000 to $60,000 a year. I think Maya Moore is only like $100,000 player. I could be wrong, but I know at one point she was $100,000 player. And it's not necessarily the fact that they're being cheated. It just simply, and it's unfortunate that the women's game doesn't generate crowds. And with them not generating crowds, it's hard for people to really say what they probably should get. Like, prime example, like, Maya Moore in 2012, Maya Moore's contract was worth $45,000. Okay? Let's look at Cynthia Flowers' contract right now. In 2015, she received $210,000. But how many years was that? So I'm going to look at this. I'm going to look at this comparison right now. I'm going to go over the fact that, yes, women's basketball is underappreciated. Because if you ever went to a women's basketball game, and you if you're a fan of the game, or you're a fan of the sport, it shouldn't matter what sex is playing. Now, granted, there is a difference because there is, you know, people may say it's boring, but if you're a fan of the game, then you look at it differently. You look at the fact that women's basketball is just so well executed and so many different variables, and the coaches have to teach these women so many different ways to be aggressive without disrespecting them, being sexist, or anything like that. They have found a way and a tool to shout out to the male female basketball coaches and the women who decide to coach female basketball. I respect it 100%. I always have. I like the way it looks on the court. But these contracts, you know, make these players have to play overseas where they're making more money overseas. Simone Augustus is a very good example to that. Simone Augustus just did a Vice special. So check that out. Vice, HBO Vice. You know, not only just talk about, you know, being married and, you know, being part of the LGBT community and stuff like that, but she talks about the fact that she has to go overseas and make more money overseas. So, you know, it's a lot of teams are upset that she played for because of the fact, like, she plays for Minnesota Lynx right now. Teams get upset because they come to this training camp so late, but they come back so late because they're busy making real money somewhere else. And honestly, truthfully, you got to think about it. Like, I'm not saying what women basketball make over there, but I'm pretty sure they'll generate more fans than they could, you know, they could over home. So it's either someone's pocketing too much money. So I would be excited to see women's basketball change in a whole different ways, and for, and I would say equality, because at the end of the day, I do understand they don't generate the same amount of money, but it doesn't mean you have to lowball some of the top players. Because at the end of the day, if you tell me, do you want a nosebleed seat for a women's basketball game? I mean, for a men's basketball game, or you want a court side for a women's basketball game? Best believe I'm taking a women's basketball game. Court side, you know, would just say I could kick a referee like Jay-Z? Definitely. I'll probably try to kick him just from the flat. Like Diana Taurasi. Let's see her. Diana Taurasi plays for the Mercury Sun, here in Arizona, where I'm at right now. Legendary player. She's been all around the world playing this game. You know, The last time they updated her income, she was making a little under $50,000 a year. I'm pretty sure it's a little bit up since then, since this last reference is 2010. But I'm just saying, like, these people are professional athletes, and they're making the same amount of money you make, you know, at Capital One, answering phones, telling people they should pay their bills on time. And these are professional athletes. So they're faced with a situation where you got to think about Candace Parker. She might not have to go overseas and play because she's already got her a residency with ESPN Sports, NBA Sports. Like, she's actually Candace Parker with TNT. I'm sorry. She definitely has made a way for herself. So it's the fact that she, during the offseason, she could stay here and just commentate on different sports for different broadcasters. But let's talk about all the other players who don't get the same opportunity. Tina Charles, Angel McCarthy, Maya Moore, Simone Augustus, you know, Sue Bird, who's a legendary player. Shout out to the Seattle Storm. Swimcast. These are various different players in WNBA. I'm a fan of WNBA because of the fact that they way to play the game. I'm definitely a fan of UConn, just the way he coaches the game. I'm a fan. Of course, I'm going to be a fan of Dawn Staley because she's an excellent – I think she's a good player coach. Like, when you think of player coaching, people may not understand a player coach. A player coach is someone, first of all, you've played a lot of games. You have a lot of basketball experience. But you still identify yourself as a player. And what it means is you're still a certain player, so you still have the same passion, your drive. You don't necessarily have administration. You think of your teammates. You think of your players or your teammates, to be honest with you. Just you leading your teammates. You know, and you seem to be more relatable when it's not really coaching. It works for some people. You know, it's a lot of players, you know. Like I said, Gino is one of them I think of as a player coach, not a player, but he's a coach. It's a little bit different. So a lot of people like going to Dawn Staley because she's a player coach and she's very relatable. She understands. And she's younger than most people coaching professional sports, you know. So you have that. Brittany Griner, this woman is 6'7", 6'8". I don't know how tall this woman is. She's tall in person. You know, she's 6'9". So she's a 7-footer basically. That is unbelievable. Brittany Griner is unbelievable. Unbelievable size. She actually is a real player. I think she was destined to play basketball. I don't know who her papa is. Pretty sure he probably was a good player or something back in the day. We'll figure that out one day. But Brittany Griner, I don't know. Like I said, I'm a fan of WNBA. I feel like they do need to get more finance. I need to figure out to get more TV sponsorship deals. I don't know what they could do with the game to make it more fun or get more people. I don't know. You just think about different things. You know, so you think about the sport and you think about it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter if a man or a woman should play. If it's played correctly, it's all fun. I don't care if you make. I've come from the era as a player and a coach where I've dunked, teammates dunk, everybody dunk, coach dunk, everybody dunking. But I haven't seen too many outside of me where I just like been in awe the way they move the basketball, the way they screen away, the way they different looks, different how well women execute the game of basketball is unbelievable fun to me. Shout out to WNBA, shout out to the players making that money going overseas. Shout out to women basketball, period, college. Shout out to University of Arizona with a good leadership for the women's program. I'm excited to see what they do over there, the women's program. I met some of the coaches recently, and I'm excited to see what they got over there. So check out women basketball. Go on YouTube, whatever it is, to understand what I mean when it comes to my sets and playing. I recommend all players. If you're a parent and you're listening to this podcast, I recommend that you have your son or your daughter watch WNBA and just watch the sets and the way these don't care who's playing. Just watch how the synchronization is the most important thing. So we're excited about WNBA. Shout out to that. So, mid-season, man, the fourth game, but just finished here in Tucson for the fall league. I think we got, what, three more left?
two more left.
Yeah, three more left. It's flying by. So we'll see how it go. You know, a lot of X and O's is trying to get there, trying to make sure my players are getting it going and learning the game. It's going to take time and patience, and I'm willing to have it. You know, as a coach, you deal with different things, you deal with different personalities. Especially you take it over a program, you think about a lot. You're trying to build your program as well as not try to minimize other people's potential. So as a coach, you try to find different variables and ways to figure it out. So I'm still excited about coaching. I'm still excited about the game. I'm still personal. Like, it's my life. It is my life. Ball is life for real. So we'll see you on that. We got, like I said, our fifth game would be this Saturday coming up. So, I'm excited about Arizona basketball, just in general. It's a very, very basketball community. Just very interesting. You know, it's very interesting, especially coaching basketball in general. Shout out to Coach Van Gundy for leading the, I think it's a U21 team, overseas to see if they can go ahead and win something. So we qualify for the next Olympics coming up in a couple of years. Speaking of things coming up, make sure you vote. Make sure you vote. It is your national duty. And it's your right not to, but it's also your right to vote. So if you care about voting, you should vote. Vote in November for your local elections. Pay attention. Don't just always wait for the president. Because a lot of times you have to think local. Think local, because local will affect national politics. Just the way it goes. Who you put in, you know, it's just the way it goes. Man, just looking over some information real quick. 1 second. Let's see here. So the NBA. So we're good to go to NBA. Let's talk about the fact that, you know, Nike did grant Colin Kaepernick a contract. Well, he already had been with them already, but they gave him a new campaign to lead a campaign, clothing campaign. Some people are, I know, we as society, sometimes, especially, we become consumers so much that we don't look at the picture. Sometimes we're just easily impressed. You know, we're not thinking about the fact that some of that money may be going towards anything else. So, you know, shout out to Kaepernick be having a chance to, you know, still be able to provide for himself. And I don't think he has any children, but if he did, his family as well. But we shouldn't be easily impressed with certain things because of the fact that society needs to have more unity than ever. And sometimes brands do it. The realization that brands do it. As a coach, I can say, yeah, we can get these Nikes. Everybody wants these Nikes, or we get these Under Armour. Only a few may want those things. And those are conversation starters for young kids. People understand that it'd be the most simplest things that get our kids and our youth going. He got a t-shirt just like me. Oh, he got a t-shirt. Guess what? They best friend, because they wear the same type of t-shirt. I'm telling you, it's the most silliest stuff for these young kids getting become friends with. But we have to teach that. You know, unfortunately, because there are some young people who are lost, and they get up isolating themselves, and they end up hating the world. And unfortunately, there goes your next mass shooting. I'm not saying it's a right or anything like that. I'm just saying that we just got to pay attention. Society has to pay attention to what's going on to each other. And unity is the most important thing, no matter what your political party is. Whatever it is, and it's nowhere near a political podcast. This is about sports. But let's enjoy the sports, no matter what these players are wearing. Let's try to figure it out. Because at the end of the day, they're trying to perform for you because you're their fan and you're supporting them. So support these players just playing in general. Lead the politics out. That's the most important thing there when it comes to that. Progression. I have started out a vlog. I'm going to start shooting my weekly vlog. It's going to be different scenes for different scenarios that I'll be facing throughout my weeks. Whether it's basketball practice or hiking or whatever it is, you'll hear it on my YouTube channel, which is, hold on, where is my YouTube channel? Hold up. Let me look it up. Sorry. My YouTube channel. What is my YouTube channel? situation. Oh, yeah. So you can check out my YouTube channel, which is Deshaun Coach Woods. Look it up. Figure it out. Let's connect. At me on YouTube. You'll be able to pay attention as well as I use other platforms to be able to spread my message. So we shall see. We definitely should see when it comes to progression in America. Just in general, it's exciting. Make sure we have more unity. So let's go over the closing topic. Let's see here. So bear with me. You understand, I'm enjoying this weather out here in Arizona from Ohio. I go online. I see all the people I know wearing coats and stuff back home in Ohio. So I'm kind of funny because it's 90 degrees right now as I'm recording. So exciting to see something different. So I'm excited about that. So we shall see how I feel when the winter comes when I don't see no snow. So we shall see. We shall see how that goes. Let's see here. So recruiting. Last topic I'm going to touch on recruiting today. I'm going to make this podcast a little short today just the fact that we're getting back out there. Plus, I don't want to oversaturate with so much content. Like I said, I'm working on a vlog right now. You can check me out. Just YouTube, Deshaun Coach Woods. You'll look me up, find me on YouTube. If you know me personally, just reach out. I'll send you the link to the YouTube channel. I'm probably going to be editing tonight, so I did film a little bit today. I'm thinking about doing at least 15 to 20 minutes episodes. Not something serious, not an hour. Just something simple, something sweet. So to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. So let's see here. Recruiting. So a lot of parents recently have reached out to me about their children, you know, reaching out. And don't get me wrong, kids nowadays have the opportunity to send their mixtapes or their highlight tapes to any coaches or any programs on their own, right? So a lot of times these kids are taking a life in their own hands, which is very assertive and very respectable. I know as a coach, as a college coach recently, a lot of our players came off of them recruiting themselves because we're just starting off. I mean, now Coach Gaines, who's the head coach at Southern State, now he is able to fill a team off for all recruits. But at one point, we had to fill it up with some walk-ons. But some people recruit themselves. They get the self-recruited parents. There's a big, if your son or daughter is being recruited by any universities, there's a almost 8 times out of 10 chance that the basketball coach at the high school team that your school knows that plays for, the coach knows about it. As a coach, your email information, your contact information is out there for the masses to be able to gather. Trust me, I get so many invitations for our program to play in different tournaments and such things like that. But the biggest thing here when it comes to recruiting, like I said, you want to make sure your son or daughter is very transparent of what kind of conversations they're having with these coaches. Because at the end of the day, that violation is going to hurt your son or daughter more than it's going to hurt that school. So make sure they contact you at appropriate time. You can be very assertive, even if they may be crossing the line. I'm telling you, at the end of the day, if you're good enough to get recruited by a Division I school, then you don't worry about losing that scholarship offer because it'll be a smaller school that will appreciate you. You know, open tryouts. There's a lot of schools that have JUCOs and stuff like that, JUCO tryouts. I'm probably going to be taking one of my players personally right now up to a JUCO tryout. But parents, make sure you pay attention to who your kids are talking to. Make sure they don't accept anything offers. Knows official visits the school can pay for an official visit. But if it's not official visit at all, don't have your son or don't you. And if your school really wants your son, they'll pay for his travel. They'll pay for various different things. So pay attention to these contacts. No one wants to be hurt in the end of the situation. If you have any questions, you can email me at woodsinnovation@gmail.com or dow@woods@gmail.com, or you can Twitter me at Coach DL Woods. That's my Twitter handle. My Instagram handle is Sean is chilling. What more can I say? I'm top billing. No, that's just a song. But seriously, if I have any more questions, something like that, please reach out to me. Any parent that has any concerns about college recruiting or getting your son recruited, I have a lot of experience not only recruiting kids, but also getting my kids into, you know, into four-year university from the JUCO level. So I have experience in that, and I'd be more happy to help out, you know, any questions anyone may have for me. So I'm going to go ahead and close this conversation out today. I would appreciate you guys listening to the Woods City of Coaches podcast. Like I said, I do have a vlog coming up. You can check out Deshaun, Coach Woods. You can check me out, my vlog that will be posted within the next 2 days. Vlog, rather. As well as you can check me out on Anchor and other 9 other platforms. Spotify, Apple, Something Cast. I think it's about 9 different programs that syndicate my podcast. So I want to thank you guys for checking out the City of Coaches podcast for this conversation. And I will talk to you soon. We belong to the light in the river of darkness. Peace.